Good to say thank you very much to Craig for his words. It's good to be with you here tonight in New Cumnock. It's a great privilege to be here to preach the gospel, and it's a privilege to share the meeting with Craig. I only found out a few weeks ago that I'm actually related to Craig, so you can tell that for the good looks and all that. Can I read in Mark chapter 5, please? Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. Mark 5:21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. You know, on the road to Jesus' house, a woman who was ill came and touched the hem of his garment, the Lord Jesus' garment, and she was healed. And the Lord Jesus stopped, and he spoke to the woman. But just as he was speaking to the woman, we break in verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Should God have had a blessing upon his word. You know, it's a great privilege to be here to preach the gospel, as I said. But when you preach the gospel, it's also a great responsibility. Because when you come to hear the gospel, I hope you realise that you don't come to hear what man has to say about this. You come to hear what God has to say. It's a great responsibility in preaching the gospel. Because I believe when we stand here and preach it, we're literally standing between those who are saved and those who are not saved. And that simply means this. Those who are on their way to heaven and those who are on their way to hell. You know, it's also a great responsibility to preach the gospel, because it could be for somebody in here tonight that I'm preaching it, or that we're preaching it for the very last time. I don't know why you think you're here tonight. I don't know what you believe has brought you here. But can I tell you what I believe? I believe that God has brought you to this place tonight to hear his word and to hear what God has to say. Everything we say tonight, both Craig and myself, comes from the Bible. It's not something that we have made up. It comes from the Bible. It's the word of God. And at the very start of the meeting, I want to ask you the very solemn question. Are you saved? Has there ever been a day in your life where you've trusted Christ as Saviour? Has there ever been a day in your life when you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart to forgive you for your sins? Have you ever asked him to take you to heaven? I wonder, are you saved tonight? You know, the passage that I read is a very touching passage. I've read it many times. I suppose you get so used to it, you miss the point sometimes. About a man who loves his little daughter so much. But his little daughter falls ill to the point of death, and he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ for help. You know, the Lord comes into that life And he comes into that home and he raises that little girl back to life. You know, I read verse 22 and 23. I'll read it again. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. When I read those two verses, I thought this. The man comes in behalf of his little daughter and pleadeth for him to save her. He cometh in behalf of his little daughter. And when I read that at home, I just thought this. Maybe there's somebody in here tonight, and your mother and father are saved, and you're not. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that your husband or your partner or your wife saved, and you're not. Maybe a brother or sister, gran and grandpa, but they're saved, and you're not. And maybe you know that at the end of time, in the great eternity, and death, they'll go to heaven, but you won't. And maybe that person has spoke to you. And maybe they've came to you and they've said, told you the gospel message, and they've told you that you've got to get saved. And maybe you've not listened. Dear friend, can I guarantee you that every night that person comes before God in prayer and prays for your salvation? Can I guarantee you tonight that at the end of a day when they close their eyes in their bed, I'm sure at times the tears will wet their pillows as they just ask God to touch you in your life and save you. I wonder, tonight, will their prayers be answered? Is tonight going to be the night that you trust Christ as your Saviour? You know, I thought of this man, Jairus, and I thought about his life. And I realised, life can be funny, can't it? It can be full of ups and it can be full of downs. You know, 12 years ago in the story, this man had the joy of his daughter being born. You know, that's something that I can appreciate now, because 3 weeks ago my wife had a little girl. This man had the privilege of holding that little bundle in his arms. He would feel so happy. He would feel so proud. Delighted that that little one is born into his family. Dear friend, life was good for that man. Things were going well. He was happy. Life was good. He would watch that little girl grow up, and the baby would turn into a toddler, toddler into a young woman, a young girl. She would bring his life so much joy, she would be the apple of his eye. Dear friend, life is good. And then, suddenly, she falls ill to the point of death. Jairus' life was torn from corner to corner. His life was turned upside down. God was speaking to him. Dear friend, I wonder if that man's picture, that man's life, is a picture of your life tonight. Maybe you can look back and you can remember the happy times in life, the times when life was easy, life was good. You can remember times when you were happy, but something's happened. Something's happened and your life has been literally turned upside down. Tonight, maybe, you're sitting on those benches and then deep inside, your heart's breaking. It could be family problems, money problems, maybe an addiction, ill health, it could be anything. But dear friend, you're looking left and you're looking right and you don't know where to turn, because your life is in absolute turmoil. Your life's been turned upside down. Dear friend, when you look at left and look at right and you don't know where to go, can we just plead with you to look up? Because Jairus didn't know where to turn. His daughter was ill. His heart was breaking. But where did he go? He turned to Christ. Dear friend, if you're unsaved in this hall tonight, it would be a heart's desire, it would be an earnest plead for thee, that you might turn to Christ. You might not take the problem away. Often he doesn't. But he reaches down and he holds on to your hand and he helps you through. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Elsewhere in the Bible, it talks to the Lord Jesus as when a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And in Psalm 46, it depicts a life of disaster. It depicts a life of turmoil. The world is falling apart almost. But that verse, it says, be still and know that I am God. Dear friend, if you're there tonight, can I tell you that God cares? You know, salvation and being saved isn't just about getting to heaven. It's about having an experience with God in this life. An experience of knowing that God loves you. An experience of knowing that God cares for you. Dear friend, God does care for you. But on the road to the house, we find out that Jairus' problem gets a whole lot worse, doesn't it? Because not only is the little girl ill, but we read that the little girl died. She's dead. It's not a nice subject, death. It's not a nice subject to talk about, and nobody likes to think about it. But if the Lord doesn't come first, it's the only thing in life that's actually sure. 100 out of 100 die. Recently it's brought to my attention that it doesn't matter what age you are. Tomorrow I'm going to attend a funeral of a girl I knew when I was grown up, who's only 31 years old. I look in the news and I see terrible tragedies and stories, such as China. I see people ushered into an eternity, killed, both young and old. You know, when we're young, we think life's going to go on forever. And we think we can put these matters off. Dear friend, if death was to come into your if death was to happen to you tonight, where would you be? Says you, I don't believe in God. I believe in the Big Bang theory, as we are saying. And I believe that when I die, then that's it, final. There's nothing else. You die, that's it. Can I tell you the Big Bang theory is the first Big Bang ever to actually create something? You know, I work as a fireman in Glasgow. I've seen many Big Bangs and explosions. I've seen the turmoil it brings into life. I've seen the absolute destruction it has. But I've never ever seen it create something. Dear friend, the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. It also says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Look around. Look at the beautiful world we've got tonight. Dear friend, it all happened by chance. I just have to look at the young ones and my little baby girl. And I can say with the word of God, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Dear friend, the Bible tells me that God created the heavens and the earth. But the Bible tells me that when we die, we go to one of two places. Heaven or hell. Hell is not a nice thing to talk about either, is it? And maybe you've given absolutely no thought. I've heard it said that God's a God of love. Why would a God of love send anybody to hell? You're saying God is a God of love. God loves you tonight. Do you realise that? That God loves you. And God cares for you. But God is also holy, perfect, sinless. Dear friend, I wonder, do you believe you've got sin in your life? What's sin? Sin is the thing in your life that makes you do bad. Again, I'll use the illustration of a little child. If you see a little child, you don't have to teach that little child to do bad, do you? You teach it to do good. Because a natural instinct makes it do the bad thing. That's sin. Sin's in your life and sin's in my life. During the past 24 hours, how often have you had a bad thought? Have you said something wrong? Have you told a lie? Dear friend, these are all sin. And God hates sin. There's sin in everybody. Because when God created the heavens and the earth, He created a perfect world. And He put a perfect man and a perfect woman into that perfect world. But dear friends, the first man, Adam, disobeyed God. And by disobeying God, sin came into the world. And so from Adam to this generation, sin is passed upon all men. Dear friend, there's not one person in this world who's not a sinner. We all do wrong. And God is holy, God is just, God is perfect, God is sinless. And God knows that sin that you commit must be judged, must be punished. And that sin will be punished in hell. If you die unsaved, you will go to hell and you'll be punished for your sins for all of eternity. Dear friend, this is serious matters. But pray that you won't shut off the sin in your life, and that sin must be punished. But you know, into Jairus' life and into Jairus' home came Christ. And into that home where that little girl was dead, the Lord Jesus Christ intervened and He brought her back to life. And you know, this is a part of the gospel message that I just don't understand, to be quite honest. Because God looks down and He sees your sin, not just yours but mine, and the sins of the whole world. And He sees your sin and He hates the sin. But dear friend, praise God tonight, He loves the sinner. God loves you tonight. You know, by your own choice, you can go out that door unsaved. You can. But you'll never go out unloved. God loves you. And God's seen the sin of the world. He's seen your sin. And He's seen my sin. And He hated the sin, but He loved the sinner. He loved you and me. And He knew that sin had to be punished. But He didn't want to punish you. And He didn't want to punish me. But the only way for you to escape punishment, for me to escape punishment, was if somebody took our place. Dear friend, we've read about that person tonight. And Craig spoke of that person tonight. Because God searched through heavens, but there was only one good enough to take our place. God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And God loved you so much that He sent His only Son, His only perfect Son, into this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ lived a life of perfection. There was no sin found in Him. He was sinless. And He lived a perfect life. And let me tell you, you didn't have to ever say sorry. When the sick came to Him, He healed them. When the lame came, He made them walk. He showed men the real meaning of love because He loved all men. But dear friends, men hated Him. And I'll tell you why. Because when they seen His perfection, when they seen His sinlessness, all their imperfections and all their sin became so blatantly obvious. And wicked men took Him. Wicked men took the very Son of God. And they beat Him and they punched Him. And they whipped His back and they planted a crown of thorns. Inch long thorns. We're not talking the wee ones you see. We're talking big thorns, and he pressed it into his head, and the blood would start to pour. And dear friend, they would spit in the very Son of God's face, and they would take him to a place called Calvary, and they would drive nails through his hands and through his feet, and he would lift them up. And dear friends, I want you to picture Calvary's cross right now. And I want you to picture three crosses on a hillside. And I want you to turn your attention to that middle cross in your mind. And I want you to realise this, that Lord Jesus Christ was dying there for you. And dear friend, on the cross, men would beat him. And men would revile him. And they could do their worst to him. But hear what he said on the cross at Calvary. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Dear friend, God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent his only Son to die on the cross at Calvary for your sins. Because men would do their worst for him. But for 3 hours, the earth was darkened. And for 3 hours, dear friends, God punished his only Son for the sins of the world. Dear friends, God punished his only Son for your sins. And he punished them for my sins. Your sins can be taken away tonight because they're dealt with at Calvary. But if you go as you are, it won't happen. You can put it off, you can live your life, you can pay no attention to it, then dear friends, come the end of your life, let me tell you, you'll go to hell. Because the price has been paid at Calvary. But dear friends, you've got to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart to save you from your sins. You've got to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart to forgive you for your sins and to take you to Calvary. And if you do that, dear friend, he promises you, you'll be saved. It's not a maybe, it's not a perhaps, it's a definite. If you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. But we must stress, you must do it straight away. You must do it now. I didn't really intend to tell this little story. It's not a true story, obviously, but it's a story just to emphasise my point. It goes like this. The devil sent three spirits into the world to bring folk into hell. And the first one came back and he had hundreds of folk. And the Bible said to him, How did you get so many folk into hell? And the spirit said this, quite easy. I told them that there was no God. If you go through your life and say there is no God, dear friend, the Bible tells me when you die, you'll wake up in hell. The second spirit came back and he had thousands upon thousands of souls he brought into hell. And you know, the devil was amazed and said, how did you get so many folk to come into hell? Such a terrible, horrible place. And he said this quite simply. I told them there's more than one way to heaven. I told them if they do good works, give money to charity, attend church, that would be enough to get them into heaven. Dear friend, it's great to see you here tonight, but your attendance at church, your attendance at this gospel hall and your comrades will not get you into heaven. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ will you get into heaven. And so he said that I told him there was more than one way to heaven. The third one came back and he had millions. Millions upon millions of folk he brought into hell, souls he brought into hell. The devil said, how did you get so many folk into such a terrible place as this? And he said this, I told them that God loved them. I told them that God sent his only Son to die on a cross for them. And I told them that if they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if they asked him into their heart to forgive them for their sin and to take them to heaven, then they'll be saved. I told them the gospel. as I was shocked. He said, you told them the gospel story. How did you get so many folk into hell by telling the gospel story? He said, I also told them this. There's always tomorrow. Dear friend, there are souls in hell right now. They've put off the matter of their soul's salvation. They thought they had tomorrow. And dear friend, maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you're unsaved. Maybe you've heard the message many times, maybe you haven't. And maybe God is speaking to you right now. Maybe God is speaking to you tonight, and he's saying to you, believe me. Trust Christ as Saviour. Dear friend, it would be our hope and our prayer that you wouldn't put it off. It would be our desire that you trusted Christ, your Saviour, tonight. Thank you for listening. We'll just close in prayer. Father, we come before you in the most holy and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for this great gospel message that we've got to preach. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only Son to Calvary's cross to die for us. But Father, Lord, we thank you that the punishment of the sins of the world were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And Father, we just thank you that tonight souls can be saved. Father, we just pray for this gathering tonight. We just pray for them, and should there be anybody that's not saved, we just pray that thy Spirit might take dealings with them tonight. Father, we just pray that they might come to know Christ as Saviour. That they might realise that this matter of their eternal soul has got to be dealt with tonight. Father, now as we part from this place, bless us. We pray you'll go before us, asking of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening.